Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. So we're doing something a little different over the next few weeks called the Ask a Counselor series. As you know, I recently started the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, a team of Christian counselors who are offering one-on-one online sessions to meet with you and help you work through any personal or relationship issue you might be facing. It's an amazing team of counselors that I get the privilege of leading, and I wanted you to get to know them the way that I've been getting to know them. I've asked the counselors on my team to come and join me on the podcast over the next few weeks to help me answer your questions for this Ask the Counselor series, and I can't wait for you to get to know them. To book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing today.
Hi, Deborah. This is Brenda from Colorado. I've been struggling a lot lately with my friendships as an adult. I'm realizing that I can't be friends with everyone and that not everyone will like or connect with me, and that's hard. What advice or suggestions do you have on fostering friendships as an adult?
Today on the podcast, I'm joined by one of our amazing counselors, Jen Stanley. Jen, it's so good to have you joining me on the podcast. This is a first time for you, huh?
It is. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So Jen joined our network this past January. Mm-hmm. And Jen, why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of your wheelhouse? Like, what are your favorite type of clients and specialties and things that you love working with in the network?
Well, I really enjoy marriage, especially marriage in crisis. And I love working with females who are trying to find themselves, like getting their identity in Christ and getting it rooted there. I think it's important to have support when we're kind of searching that out. And so I really enjoy meeting with like young adults and females and marriage stuff. That's my wheelhouse,
I think. Awesome. I love that. And you're really good at what you do. So I'm so glad to have you here, because this question that came into the hotline is a really important question. And you know, it's one that I've been seeing a lot more as an adult. Mm-hmm. With regards to friendships, like, you know, you go through friendships in your childhood, adolescence, and friendships are kind of awkward. And then I feel like you kind of start moving into young adulthood and maybe you think friendships are easy. Like I remember in college, everything was just so natural. There's people mm-hmm. everywhere. You don't have to work hard for friendships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then something happens when you become an adult and you have children, you get married, or even you're a young professional and you're working, and all of a sudden friendships get complicated all over again. So is that, so I know you're very passionate about this subject. So tell me, is that the same thing that you're kind of seeing? Do friendships get a little different when we start entering adulthood, and what does that look like?
I definitely think so. I kind of call it the Disney Channel phenomenon, where it like made us believe that we needed to have this best friend that was going to be through life with everything, that you would go to elementary school and high school and college, you'd have children together. And so we had this belief that we're supposed to have this one person all the time with us. And then when that doesn't pan out or it looks differently, then we're like sitting there going, what happened? Why do I not have this one person that's with me through everything? And so I think sometimes we put too much stock and importance on just having one single relationship, and we don't understand that we can get our needs met in multiple places.
You're right. You know, it's funny when you said the Disney Channel phenomenon, because we usually think about that with romantic relationships, like Hollywood romanticizes romantic relationships. They're so idealistic, like it's not going to happen, right? So chick flicks and all these things. But you're so right. We also idealize friendships
and
make them this ideal situation that's not actually in line with reality. And then when our friendships don't measure up to what we expected them to look like, we start to panic, not realizing that everybody's kind of trying to navigate this and figure it out. So what does it look like for the person who's calling in, who's like, friendships are hard, there's drama, it's complicated. Like, what can we do to have healthier friendships in this stage as adults?
Well, I do think that the person asking the question had a good point and said, I've realized that not everyone's going to like me. And I think we need to start from that foundation that not everyone's going to think I'm amazing.
Yeah.
And so I'm not for everyone. So I'm going to go find the people that think I'm great. And that's where I'm going to invest my time. And so like to not spend so much time focusing on the people that aren't connecting with me, but just recognizing I'm not going to have an amazing connection with everybody that comes into my life.
Yeah. That's not easy.
Right.
You know,
especially when you're a people pleaser, when you like people to like you, it's hard not to do that.
Yeah. Like cognitively, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I want people to like me. Not everyone's going to like me. Let me move on with that. That's the healthy response, right? But it's complicated for some people. So let's talk about that as counselors. Why is that an easy statement for some people? You know what? Not everybody is going to like me and I need to move on and just connect with people who appreciate me for who I am. Why is that not an easy mindset and mentality for everybody?
Well, I think part of it's rooted in our own self-perception. Like we are looking for other people to tell us what our value is. And so when we get to the point where we know who we are, then we're willing to understand that not everyone's going to like what I am. But when we are still looking for that affirmation from other people, we're expecting someone else to tell us our value. We think, oh, you want to spend time with me? That makes me valuable. And so you've got to get to that situation and the point where you feel comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah. What do you think prevents people from getting there? Like when we talk about the things from the past, like what kind of things might be preventing a person from getting to that point altogether?
I think that oftentimes we get hurt in our friendships early on. I would even like take it all the way back to like elementary school when you're telling your friends your secrets about what boy you think is cute and they end up going and telling what you've said and shared. We begin to get cautious about who we let into our lives. And so then like we put this wall up and like we're not going to let anybody in because we don't want to get hurt by those things. And so I think depending on what experiences you've had going into adulthood, I think impacts how you approach your current situation.
Yeah, I agree. And not only that, but you know, sometimes it's things outside of our friendships that impact how we do friendships, just like with romantic relationships. Like maybe you come from a family of origin where, you know, you felt like you were neglected or unloved or, you know, shamed. And oftentimes we carry those roles into our friendships. So we're trying to kind of resolve some of those hurts from the past, but we end up taking some of those things in with us to our friendships. So for example, I know somebody who is constantly feeling like all her friends are looking down on her, or deep down they don't really like her, or she's not measuring up to some standard and they're probably disappointed with her. And really tracing it back, it comes from a lot of those childhood experiences she had with her own parents, her own family, feeling neglected, feeling like she wasn't enough, and then carrying that into even how she views her friends and what she expects out of friends. Do you feel like that's something that people commonly do?
Oh, absolutely. I think that all those previous experiences shape how we come into our current situation. And so it's part of it's becoming mindful of the things that have occurred and being able to look at those situations and go, okay, so where's the truth here? Like, are these things that I believe about myself, are they rooted in truth? Or are they just beliefs that I've taken on that I need to kind of work through and let go of?
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to be able to look into your past and see where those things kind of happened and got shaped.
So how do we know that we have healthy friendships as adults? And how do we know that they're not healthy? Like, what are some signs? What are some things to look for in this stage of life?
I think part of it is how you feel after you've spent time with that person. Like, if you feel refreshed and rejuvenated and encouraged and in a positive mindset and feeling good about yourself, I think that that's a sign that you've been with a good friend, because they're encouraging you and supporting you. If you're walking away from spending time with that person and you're feeling beat up or feeling questioning your value, I think that that would be a relationship I would kind of reconsider and go, okay, what is it about this that keeps bringing me back to the situation? Is this a friendship I need to continue to nurture, or is this something that I need to let go and move on from?
Yeah. Yeah. Friendships are complicated, like we said, in this stage of life, because the truth is you only have limited emotional energy. That's just the bottom line, right? Like, as you get older, you realize you have limited emotional output and you can't give it to everybody. So trying to give your energy to all these different relationships, it's not only impossible, but you literally don't have the capacity to do that. So people have to fall to the wayside, right? You can't just have friendships from every season just kind of following you through life. So let's just say we're examining our friendships, right? We're looking out at our friendships. We're recognizing some of these are one-sided relationships where I'm giving too much and I'm not receiving anything. Others of these are unhealthy because I'm feeling drained, and they're critical and they're negative, and they're constantly putting me and others down. So maybe that's a friendship that I don't want in my life anymore. When we've kind of gotten to that point where we realize, okay, these are the people I want to invest in, and these are the people I need to start setting boundaries with. What advice do you have? How do you do that? How do you, there's somebody in your life that you no longer think is good for you. How do you go about setting those boundaries, distancing yourself from that relationship? Because that's really hard at this stage.
So I think it's important to understand you don't always have to communicate it to that person that you're taking a step back. I mean, sometimes you're going to, but for the most part, if you can just step away from that and find your distance, I think that could be pretty beneficial. But if you are confronted with the distance, if the friend saying, hey, I'm noticing that you're not spending time with me, I'm noticing that we haven't been hanging out as much, what's going on? Like, I think it's okay to say, well, you know, I found that I'm wanting to put my energy in other places, or this relationship tends to need a lot of my time and energy, and I don't know that I have that to offer right now.
Yeah.
So I just was trying to take some space in that.
I think that's the hardest part for people is being direct. You know, it's like,
I would agree.
You're so afraid to hurt other people. And I do think, like you said, you don't necessarily have to advertise it. You know, when you decide there's somebody in my life that, you know what, this is no longer healthy for me. This is no longer good for me. Not that all relationships have to be beneficial for me. So let me pause that for a minute, because I want to get back to that idea that not all relationships have to be beneficial for me. Because I think there's different kinds of relationships. But what we're talking about right now is peer relationships, peer to peer, not discipleship relationships, not mentor relationships, but peer to peer relationships where you should be giving and receiving, right?
Yes.
You get to a place when you're like, this isn't working anymore. I do agree that you don't have to necessarily advertise it, but you might get confronted. I think you can slowly begin to set boundaries, like you said, kind of filling your time with other things, other people. I was confronted about this long ago. I will never forget. Mm. You know, I was in a season of life where I was kind of like, I just need to focus in. I didn't have much bandwidth. I didn't have energy. I had little babies at the time. I'm trying to write my first book. And life was full. And I realized there were certain people that just weren't fitting into that space anymore, and for different reasons. Well, one of them confronted me about it eventually and said, hey, I am noticing that you have been distant. Is something wrong? And that's when you have to respond. I mean, you can't avoid it and pretend that everything's fine. So I do think it's important to be direct. And I was direct. And just like you said, it was basically something to the effect of, you know, my life is really full right now, and I don't have the bandwidth to invest in people the way that I would like to. And so unfortunately, I've had to kind of put some boundaries around my life, and I'm sorry if that's hurt you, and this is just the season that I'm in right now. And I was clear. And trust me, that was really hard, you know? And I think it's just going to be hard. It's one of those things that you can't have an easy conversation about it.
Well, and I think it's also good to kind of check with yourself and say, how would you want someone to tell you?
Yeah.
If someone was needing to separate themselves from you, how would you want them to deliver that message to you?
Right.
And so where you'd be able to receive that. And so I think we don't want to be harsh about it. We don't want to be ugly and mean about it, but just being really direct and firm, like, this is where I'm at.
Yeah. And I also think it really depends on your level of closeness, how much That's information true. You give them about what's going on. I mean, if this is like your best friend from childhood for like 20 years, you don't just yes. turn the page the next day and cut them out of your life. And I think that's important to know. It's not just about like cutting somebody out of your life. It's about slowly setting boundaries and distance mm-hmm. and making room for the things you want near. And naturally, as you do that, other things will become a little bit more distant. And I do think we can still truly love people from mm-hmm. a distance. But on the flip side of that, Jen, when we're being intentional about moving certain people away from us, in order to be people who are healthy in healthy friendships, we also have to be intentional about drawing people closer Absolutely. To us as well. So what does Yes. that look like? Give us some tips, suggestions. How can we be intentional about fostering friendships in this season of life?
Well, I think part of it would be an observer a little bit and kind of look around and watch how that person is interacting with friends and how are they treating their current friendships. You know, are they positive? Are they encouraging? Are they supportive? You might even check a few references, like saying, okay, what's it like to be friends with this person? Like, you know, do you feel supported by them? And if you feel like this is someone that you want to connect with, I think you reach out and you say, hey, you are someone that looks like we could get together and connect. I really like this aspect of what I see in you. Could we go to lunch? Could we go to dinner? Could we go for a walk? I think it's really okay to express your interest and to say, hey, I'm looking to create deeper friendships. And so I'm interested in doing that. In the same way when you're dating, that you say, this is my intention. I think it's okay to say relationally, I would like to pursue a friendship with you.
I totally agree. I think we're not intentional enough about this kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I think for so many years, friendships just happen naturally. And so we mm-hmm. expect them to continue happening naturally in adulthood. But I think if there is one takeaway that I've learned about adult friendships is the word intentionality. You have Absolutely. To be intentional about the type of people you want into your life and not wait for them to be intentional, right?
Yes, we have to be the leader. Like, and as far as intentionality goes, like, I'm so much to the point that like when I'm done hanging out with that friend, I schedule the next opportunity to hang out with them. I treat it almost like a counseling session as far as my calendar goes, because yeah. my life is so hectic that if I don't go ahead and make space for it now, it'll be 3-6 months before I've had an opportunity to hang out again. And so I want that to be an important thing. And so I just purposely say, hey, is it okay if we schedule our next opportunity to hang out?
Right.
And so I don't miss out on that timetable.
Yeah. And another thing that I like to do too is be intentional with my interactions throughout the week. You know, mm-hmm. even if it's not practical to see that person every single week, it's really simple to send a text.
Yes.
Or to leave a voice memo or to call them or, you know, just something to touch base. How's your day? How's it going? What are you up to? And I think that's key is like, if we're really talking about healthy friendships, it's about building a community, building people mm-hmm. that care about us and love us, you know, making time for these people. And I think part of it is realizing because I only have a limited amount of time, I can only invest in this way in a limited amount of people, right? I can't mm-hmm. text 30 people a day. I can't right. have dinners with 30 people a week. So practically speaking, the ones that I really want to be a part of my life are the ones that I have to be intentional about reaching mm-hmm. out to. And I've also gotten to a point in life where I feel like I'm putting in the work and the energy and trying to text and trying to reach out and trying to invite and don't necessarily get that in return. Mm-hmm. So what if you're in a season where you feel like you're trying and trying to be intentional, but that person isn't necessarily reciprocating? I call that kind of like starting to enter into a one-sided relationship. How do you tackle that?
Well, similarly to what we were saying earlier, I think you asked the question. I think you say, hey, I'm noticing that I'm reaching out. I'm not hearing from you. Like, hey, is it okay if I continue to reach out or are you needing space? like, you know, where do we stand in this relationship right now? I think it's okay to ask that question. Just be prepared for the answer, because they may be saying that they're wanting space from you.
I know.
And that's what's happening with that. And so be okay with that and recognize, okay, this may be someone else setting distance. And so I need to respect that. Because I'm not for everyone, right? And not getting too bogged down in that. But I think asking the question is very important, because you're not, if you don't, then you end up creating your own narrative, and it may or may not be accurate. And so then you run the risk of believing things about your friend that may or may not be true. So I think it's very important that you ask your friend what's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting, because you have to kind of be open to giving and receiving in friendships, in the sense that you might tell somebody, hey, like, you're a great person, but I just literally don't have the space for everyone in my life.
Yes.
So that when it comes back around to you, and at some point in life, somebody's like, you know what, I just don't have the time and space, that we have grace with them, but also grace with ourselves, to not beat ourselves up about it, to not shame ourselves, to not pick ourselves apart, because we mathematically can't be a part of everyone's equation, just like they can't be a part of our equation. Not everybody can be a part of our equation. And so I think we have to have grace in understanding that, but grace in receiving that when it happens to us as well.
Yes, I completely agree. And I think that speaks to our emotional health when we're able to, like, to receive that feedback and hear those messages. I think, depending on how that lands and what you do with it, like, you may need to seek some professional support to kind of talk through that and say, this is how I'm feeling when my friend said this to me. How can I work through this?
You're so right.
I think that's totally appropriate.
I think it's a good temperature. It helps us understand how healthy we are. It's a good thermostat, you know, for our emotional health. It's like, if I am devastated by rejection, if rejection rocks my world, if a friend saying, you know what, you're great, I love you, I just don't have the space in my life right now, and you take that as the ultimate rejection, that probably tells us something about your emotional health. I'm not saying these things don't hurt, right? For any human being, like, there's a sting that comes to that. We've got to process and work through it. But if that, like, rocks your world, there's a good chance that's saying something about your emotional health, your identity, your beliefs about yourself, your fears of abandonment and rejection, your inner wounds that somebody is now triggering and kind of pushing on. And so honestly, how we handle friendships really reveals to us so much about our own emotional health.
I completely agree with that. I think another area that's challenging is, like, vulnerability.
Yeah.
And, like, being willing to be vulnerable in friendships, you know, and finding opportunities to do that and taking a risk. And so I think that's really true of any relationship, you know, dating and friendship. But I think sometimes, because of the wounds that we mentioned earlier, that, like, that vulnerability really is difficult.
So when we talk about vulnerability, you know, we're talking about our willingness to kind of go deep and share more about who we are, more about our struggles, more about our feelings, more about our thoughts. How do you kind of gauge when to begin giving more of that side of you in relationships?
Well, I often encourage people to try to pick something that feels vulnerable, but it's not still a wound. Like, something that's healed, but, like, really, you know, is dear to your heart and you feel deeply about. And you share that. And then you see what happens. Like, again, it's a risk. And so then how do they handle that? Are they interested in that? Are they able to receive it? Are they able to engage with you about it? Do they take it and talk about it with other people? And so then prove themselves to not be trustworthy with your heart. Like, what happens with that?
Right.
And then when you have those successful moments, when you're sharing those things, then it's okay to go, okay, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I'm going to share something else that feels a little close to my heart. It feels a little tender. And then you just continue to engage in that way and share as much as you can when you feel safe doing so.
Right. Yeah. I always tell people that trust is not a gift to be given. It's a responsibility to be earned. Mm-hmm. And the way that you do that is by giving a little. Like, let me just see, I'm being very deliberate about what I'm giving you and how much I'm giving you. And I just want to see what you do with it. Can you be trusted with it? And that's how you continue to build trust, as you give a little and you give a little and then they give a little and you begin to see what happens with that. And that's honestly one of the things that deepens relationships, because, you know, that vulnerability creates an intimacy. It creates a connection, mm-hmm. almost like, think of it as like strands that you are sewing between you and that person, these strings, these tiny connections, and each one kind of increases that bond of friendship and that bond of trust. Mm-hmm.
Well, I also think it can be important to share with your friend that, hey, what I'm about to share with you feels really vulnerable right now. And so I need you to be gentle with my heart as I share it with you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the friend receiving the information may not know that what you're sharing is incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like it may not be right. a big deal to them, but it's huge to you.
You're right.
And so alerting the receiver that what you're saying to them is really deep and needs to be handled well, I think is kind.
Yeah.
And it really helps to see how your friend is going to respond to holding your heart.
Yeah, I love that. This is such a good conversation. And I hope for those of you listening, you walk away with some encouragement, but also a challenge of the reality that it takes intentionality to
Absolutely.
Have healthy friendships in this season of mm-hmm. life. And if you're not intentional, you're going to end up having people in your life by default rather yes. than by intention.
Mm-hmm. Or you're isolated and alone, that too.
You're absolutely right. Or you realize, wait a second, like this isn't getting me anywhere. I don't have close friendships. And there's a reason for mm-hmm. that. So make this the year of pursuing healthy friendships. If you need help in this area of your life, or you've got past triggers that you're dealing with, or past wounds that are sneaking up in your relationships, maybe you're married and you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're a young adult who is having issues with your identity or, mm-hmm. or your beliefs about yourself. Jennifer would love to help you guys. She is a great part of our counselors network, and you can book a session with her by going to DeborahFaleta.com/Jennifer, and she would love to connect with you. Jennifer, why don't you kind of leave us with a closing word of encouragement, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's God's heart that we are in relationship. I mean, he wants to have a relationship with us. And so as we are made in his image, it is his desire that we have friends and that we be connected to people. And so continue to keep working at it. Like, don't get discouraged about it. It may take you a little bit to find your group and to find your people, but don't quit. Do your best to keep putting yourself out there so that you can find those people.
God's heart for us is healthy relationships. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me and for being a part of the Ask the Counselor series. It was good to chat with you.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Take care. People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Faleta Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at DeborahFaleta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfaleta.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Faleta and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Faleta, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.